Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today, are Americans stupid? Eric Swalwell, Democrat representative from California, says that we are. He says that all parents are stupid. Stupid. He goes on with the diatribe that it's as though you're trying to do surgery on your own body, et cetera, et cetera. Some of his meandering didn't make good common sense, but it shows you what's in the minds of most of those, the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party. But ladies and gentlemen, in Proverbs chapter 16, we read in verse 23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. And then found in verse 25, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death and destruction. In chapter 17, verse 4, a wicked giveth heed to false lips. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. And a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. And so I say that he had a lying lips and a naughty tongue when he made that statement. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that deserves to be analyzed and questioned. The title of the article says, America Votes for Obama's Brand of Marxism, dated November the 14th. In Pennsylvania, the brain-damaged Democrat Fetterman beat the Muslim doctor Oz, accused of quackery, but backed by Donald J. Trump and Sean Hannity. Nothing more need be said about America's descent into oblivion and catastrophe, otherwise known as communism. Face the facts. The Marxists won this election on November the 8th in what is being called a rainbow wave. Barack Hussein Obama is their leader, end quote. On November the 8th, the American people voted for abortion, marijuana, and more welfare. Voters in Colorado voted to legalize magic mushrooms. Despite all the supposed anti-vaccine sentiment in the land, COVID lockdowns by the leftists in Michigan, New York, and Wisconsin won their gubernatorial races. It turns out that American people are more fearful of the virus than they are of the deadly vaccine. Some are claiming this is all because of a fraud vote. But that doesn't explain why conservative Kentucky voted pro-abortion, conservative Missouri voted to legalize dope, and conservative South Dakota voted for more welfare through Medicaid expansion under the Obama Affordable Care Act, end quote. Further, the article states, the truth is that the Democrats got their base out to vote. The Soros-funded pro-drug lobbyists vastly outspent anti-drug activists, and the Republicans had no effective response to any of this, except to bet that voters would punish the Democrats for Biden's disastrous economic policies, end quote. And it goes on to say, ladies and gentlemen, conservatives in the Republican Party and the media underestimated the important role played by Barack Hussein Obama, America's first Marxist president, in mobilizing Democratic Party resources and voters to counteract the unpopularity and disastrous record of the current president, Joe Biden, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps that explains it more than we could analyze it and say otherwise. Now, I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that Americans, for the most part, conservative, Christian, patriot Americans, I believe that there is wisdom in the lives and the hearts of those that say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. I believe that we have the right, ladies and gentlemen, as parents, I believe that most Americans are concerned about the safety. I believe that most Americans are concerned about grocery prices. I believe that most Americans are concerned about our children, of what they're being taught, and rejecting the sexualization and the recruitment by the sodomite LGBTQ agenda. I believe that most Americans today, as parents and as grandparents and as upright citizens, I believe that most Americans today are wise in making the decision to say no to the Barack Hussein Obama approach to socialized medicine and Barack Hussein Obama's leading the nation in his third term through the puppet Joe Biden. I believe that Americans are wise in saying no to the sexualization of our children in the public school system, the governmentally controlled system. I believe our people in America, for the most part, are wise when the majority of the votes were cast to oust Biden and his cabal and what they're doing in the destruction of America. I believe that most Americans are wise in the fact that we believe in God and country and not in government. I believe that we were wise in making the choice and the decision, ladies and gentlemen, to say no to the movement that was juggernaut running across America that would force every American citizen to take the COVID death jab rather than having control over our own bodies. And I could go on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen, but I believe the view that I call this view of being wise by Eric Swalwell as being the epitome of stupidity. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, the Democratic view most Americans as stupid. The Democrats, socialist, Marxist, BLM Democrats. You remember it was Hillary Clinton that said that we were the basket full of deplorables. I believe another person said that he could smell the Trump voters had the Walmart smell or something like that. We have been demeaned, dissed, and if you please, disenfranchised by those that think they're wiser than we that depend on God, than we that are the faithful patriots and conservatives in America. I believe that it's time that we stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. The Bible says that we must be as wise as serpents and yet as harmless as doves. But ladies and gentlemen, the scary thing is that the Senate is just about to vote on a bill that, if passed into law, will force parents to submit to the immoral, unholy, ungodly, raw pornography that's being taught in our public schools today. Our children are being controlled by the governmental school system that's destroying the minds and the hearts and the lives of those that love the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking at an article from Tony Perkins with the Action Alert newsletter. Yesterday, news broke that Montgomery County, Maryland public schools, right outside of Washington, D.C., has released an LGBTQ-friendly book list that teaches words like intersex, drag queen to the children, teaches the children words like intersex, drag queen to the children as young as pre-kindergarten. By the first grade, children will be taught what it means to be non-binary, that is, you're neither boy nor girl, and asked to decide what pronouns fits you best, end quote. Will parents in Montgomery County stand up and protest? Nationwide, listen, this is the essence. Nationwide, parents who push back on this kind of indoctrination are already being called bigots. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Eric Swalwell calls us stupid, and the average person in Washington that's pushing to destroy the morals and the ethics and the values and the fundamental freedoms that we have in America, they're calling us bigots. We're called bigots because we reject the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. We'll be called bigots because we reject this sexualization of our kids in the public school system. We're called bigots because we believe that there ought to be morals and ethics and values as a standard set in our public schools. This article goes further from Tony Perkins. Yet the Senate is about to vote on a bill that will further marginalize parents concerned about their children's education. This vote is scheduled to take place tomorrow. This article was written yesterday, so the vote's scheduled to take place today. If the so-called Respect for Marriage Act is passed, disrespect for the institution of marriage will become national policy forced upon us all. The Senate will paint a bullseye on the backs of every concerned parent and all people of faith who don't want to see more woke agenda items pushed through their local school system. This destructive bill goes further than the status quo. It equates belief in natural marriage with racism. We do not want this to be taught in our public schools. This is from Tony Perkins, ladies and gentlemen. It further says, the bill also subjects abortion agencies, women's shelters, and other nonprofits that serve their communities to further risk of lawsuit if they do not bow the knee to the LGBTQ agenda, and may I add, the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, even if doing so would harm the people they're called to serve. And it supercharges these religious freedom violations by creating a right of public action, arming any citizen activist with the ability to bring harassing lawsuits that could take years and hundreds of thousands of dollars to settle. This oppression would be backed by the full weight and force of the federal government and aimed squarely at anyone who dissents, including concerned parents. Make no mistake, Tony Perkins says, parents concerned about these crazy policies being pushed in their local schools will be further muzzled and sidelined by the passage of this bill. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a sad scenario that we're watching take place today. While Eric Swalwell calls all parents and all people in America stupid, we find that the mindset is that we're also ones to be viewed as absolutely being bigots if we stand for morals, if we stand for values, if we stand for truth. I believe it's time that Christians stand up and speak up. I believe it's time that we, from the pulpits in America, speak the truth in love, but challenge the declining morals and ethics and values in our nation. I believe that we can go back to biblical truth that judgment begins at the house of God. I believe that it's time Christian parents stand up and speak up. I believe it's time that Christian pastors stand up and speak up, grow a spine, grow a backbone, and tell the truth from the pulpit without fear and without favor. I believe we have La Sierra on the phone. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hey there, Dr. Youngblood. I was just listening to you as you were, you know, your monologue and the question that was asked about are we stupid? Are Americans stupid? And as I was thinking about that and I was considering that there is nothing new under the sun, necessarily use the term stupid, if you will, but I would say that we've been deceived. We are brainwashed. A lot of that is what is occurring. And even as I was just thinking on that, I said, well, Lord, you know, if there's nothing new under the sun, this is not new to you. You know, and I thought about, he dropped in my thought process how the Israelites were wandering in their wilderness for 40 years, right? Due to their disobedience and their unbelief. And so that's where we are. We're disobedient. It's almost, you know, completely asinine to vote for a Democrat at this point in time. The writing is on the wall. What they stand for is right in your face. And for you to still go that direction is just completely asinine. You're just being disobedient, and you obviously don't believe the word of God. You don't believe in which this United States fabric is tailored. And so I was just thinking about that. It's like, okay, we're going into this, you know, this vicious cycle, just continuously doing the same old thing, but expecting a different result. And if we would stop for a moment and do just what you've already so eloquently explained, stand on the truth of God's word, we would stop wandering in a circle and reach the promised land.
Absolutely. La Sierra, let me just add a little footnote to that. You eloquently touched the truth right on the nail head, as the old cliche goes. But when those Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, if you look at the geography, biblical geography of that, mm-hmm. those yeah. years, 40 years of wandering, they were, mm-hmm. I call it just a gnat's breath from the promised land.
They were blind.
Yeah. They were blinded and kept on being deceived, and that deception mm-hmm. kept them out of the promised land because of the mm-hmm. blind deception. And that is a satanic, demonic deception, and that is very active and real today. And yet the Bible says that as Christians, we're to put on the whole armor of God, and having done all, we're to stand. And that sixth chapter of Ephesians, the 13th verse, having done all, stand. And so, La Sierra, I'm in total agreement with you. I believe that we as Christians need to stand, and that word stand in the Greek text in the New Testament literally means we dig in our heels. We do not bow. We do not bend. We do not run. We do not compromise. We stand for truth. And that's what you and I have talked about so much in the past year in particular, that it's time that we stand for truth without bowing, without bending, and without compromising.
Absolutely.
You're exactly right. And thank you so much for adding that to the broadcast today. And keep
on
looking up.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you for calling. Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today, are Americans stupid? Now, when you go back, ladies and gentlemen, let me just add this little parenthetical footnote. When you go back to the book of Proverbs, there's a comparison and contrast throughout Proverbs. Proverbs is talking about getting wisdom, gaining wisdom, securing and embracing wisdom, wisdom from God. And it's the comparison and contrast, the comparison of the foolish man and the wise man. And so there's a comparison there with what I would call being the difference between wise and foolish. And I believe that a lot of people today, even though they may seem to be wise, there's a foolishness that is taking place. And I believe that identifies that which is the Democratic Socialist Marxist Party today, perhaps as nothing else. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at another article that's very, very relevant. It's from Tony Perkins, Tony Perkins says this, tell your senator to vote no on the Respect the Marriage Act. The U.S. Senate is set to vote on the so-called Respect the Marriage Act. This deceptively named bill is designed to enshrine same-sex marriage into the American legal fabric, going far beyond the Supreme Court's decision in Obergefell. If signed into law, this bill would jeopardize all religious freedoms of millions and millions of Americans who have sincerely held beliefs that marriage is between one man and one woman. The Senate is set to vote on the Respect the Marriage Act. When you call them, and it recommends you call your senators, tell them and remind them the bill has three main problems. Number one, it empowers the government to punish tens of millions of Americans who wish to live according to their deepest held beliefs. In other words, the bill confronts, challenges, and is an absolute contradiction of what the Word of God says. It exposes religious individuals and organizations to predatory lawsuits. Thirdly, it could allow, and I'm going to change that for my benefit for speaking, it would allow the IRS to target faith-based organizations by threatening their nonprofit status. Ladies and gentlemen, it could be the most dilemmifying death blow to American Christianity, morals, ethics, and values in American history. I believe it's time we recognize, ladies and gentlemen, we have morals and ethics and values that's in the crosshairs of the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party today. And I believe that it's time as Christians that we stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. I'm looking at an article that says, giving up our rights that are given to us by God. The gift of liberty was purchased for us all with great sacrifice. The men and women of our foundings understood that liberty is a gift from God and that all God's gifts are worthy of every effort to protect and keep them. As American citizens, we must heed the warnings of history and make every effort to pass on the gift of liberty to our future generations. God gives us the liberty we enjoy today. America was built with purpose to secure the blessings of liberty for our posterity. Jesus' article goes further. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. But if you want to keep what is going to happen to America, read the history of nations in the Bible, especially Israel. When you disobey the laws and the ways of God, then the same will happen to any nation. I can guarantee you, this article reads, based on the Word of God, unless America changes its her false religious mindset, we're headed for sure destruction, because we're living in America today as it was in the days of Jeremiah. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, it's where the days of the judges and the scripture, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. This article says this: do you realize that most pastors and church members in America do not have a clue what is going on in this nation? Evil men in America are using the Marxist ideology, conspiring against God and his anointed, to rid this nation of all vestiges of Christianity, the laws of God, our freedoms, and bring us into tyranny and slavery under communism. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the agenda. That's the fast track that we're on today. And I believe that it can be reversed. I believe that it can be stopped. I am positive in the fact that I believe that God is still on the throne and that God can intervene. But it's going to take Christians today to recognize that the greatest need in America, the greatest need in our great nation, the land of the free and the home of the brave, is to turn back to God and have revival, asking God to heal our land and to turn this nation back to God. I'm looking at an article that says this so succinctly: Why revival is America's only hope. The results are in. America's stage four cancer has metastasized to the family and the church, as well as the government and the schools. We're more depraved than ever before as a nation. Animals are guarded, but innocent children and the womb are slaughtered. Porn is protected, and sex trafficking is on the rise in our schools. America thinks that she is hearing from God, but she is not. We are drowning in a cesspool of moral filth. The wicked freely parade and prance about while evil is praised throughout the land. That's a paraphrase of Psalms 12:8. Recently, a father was arrested for referring to his biological 14-year-old daughter as she after she transitioned to male gender. Most on the liberal left would have no problem imprisoning anyone who disagrees with them, and that's exactly where the Equality Act is going. And that's Equality in Marriage Act they're talking about. Unless you accept and rejoice in it and validate sin, they're going to come after you. Revival and turning back to God is our only hope, this writer says. We see throughout the Bible that there is only one remedy, one solution, one cure to reverse the judgment of God: revival. During times of crisis, the cure for judgment was to return back to God. Consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. Joel 1:14. Revival changes a nation from the inside out. Benjamin Franklin, commenting on George Whitefield's preaching, said this about the revival sweeping the land. Quote, "It was wonderful to see the change soon made in the manners of our inhabitants. From being thoughtless or indifferent about religion, it seemed as if all the world were going religious. Revival must begin in the pulpits as well as in the pews in America." This article states this: revival is not adding more church services to the calendar. Revival is not having a great speaker to host an event. In the same way that we cannot produce a bumper crop by making it rain, revival cannot be planned, organized, or scheduled, but it can till the soil and prepare the hearts for God to send us a revival. Ladies and gentlemen, that's needed today in America. And that's the, how would you say, the apex of the thought as to how we contradict and confront Eric Swalwell with his statement that we're simply stupid. That's how we contradict and stand against the mindset of those pushing the immoral, ungodly demoralization and sexualization of our kids in school, that then if we stand against it, call us bigots. The only hope that we have, the only help that we can find, comes from God. And I'm looking at an article that's asked the question very succinctly: can we preserve religious freedom in America? Despite some of the disappointments last week's election, I'm grateful to be an American, especially because of our religious liberties, this writer says. This month we celebrate Thanksgiving, when we remember the pilgrims who came to this new land so they might live in religious freedom, something denied them in their native land in England. This is a quote now. Ever since the first breaking out of the light of the gospel in our honorable nation of England, Satan hath raised, maintained, and continued against the saints, wrote the key pilgrim leader William Bradford in his Chronicles of the Pilgrim's Sage saga. So many early Americans, not just the Pilgrims, but the Puritans, the Quakers, and the Huguenots, and others, fled their horrific persecution from Europe so that they here could be free in America. But persecution against the godly is not something just for the history books. Our grateful America first came to this land in 1990, when he was, and he's talking about an individual now, who was 12 years old. He was the son of an evangelical pastor in communist Romania, whose family suffered persecution for their Christian convictions. Harry's first act in America was to kiss the tarmac. They finally had come to the land of the free. Harry meant it, and today he is an attorney who works as vice president for Matt Staver's Liberty Council and chairman Christian Legal Group. The Bible was highly illegal in communist Romania. Dogs were trained to sniff out copies of the Bible. If the communists found a Bible, they would turn them into toilet paper. But in their legendary incompetence, sometimes, Harry noted, you'd have rolls of toilet paper with God's word still printed. We'd hear stories about people getting to read God's word courtesy of the communists in printing using the Bibles to make toilet paper. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the land of the free and the home of the brave, but those that have come out of communism, socialism, Marxism, see the handwriting on the wall of where we're going and what is taking place in our land. So as we enter into the Thanksgiving season, we need to be thankful, ladies and gentlemen, that God's given us the land of the free and the home of the brave. We need to be thankful that as Christian parents, we can say no, even though they call us bigots, even though they say that we are somehow, some way deranged or stupid. We can say no to the demoralization of our students and the schools and colleges. We can say no to what is being pushed today with the transgenderism. We have the right, the authority, and the biblical mandate to say no to the immorality that's taking place. So, ladies and gentlemen, as conservatives, as Christians, as patriots, we need to stand for truth. And as the scripture says in Ephesians 6 and verse 13, having done all, stand. Ladies and gentlemen, that simply means we stand up for truth. We do not bow. We do not bend. And as we find with the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel, they didn't bow. They didn't bend. When they were thrown in the furnace, ladies and gentlemen, got good news for you. They did not burn. So I challenge you today to recognize what God has given us. Let's continue to preserve it and be thankful this Thanksgiving season for the land of the free and the home of the brave. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.